going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully you're having a great Friday afternoon. We got a jam-packed show here today. Yesterday was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, the Masters and seeing what Tiger Woods was able to do yesterday. I'm just a big Tiger Woods fan. I know there's people out there that don't really like him, but come on. Like, the golf is so much better when Tiger is there, and I thought he had a really good day. Minus one, a bit of a hiccup there towards the end, but you know what? He was perfect. I thought he was great, and he typically doesn't have great opening rounds at the Masters, right? He's had a lot of success there, clearly. Five green jackets, one away from Jack, but he typically makes the charge round two, moving day, so we'll see if he can make the cut. It's looking pretty good for Tiger. He's got a late afternoon round today, but I thought yesterday was just so fun to be a sports fan. Of course, we had the Masters. We had opening day in Major League Baseball. We had a lot of action in the NHL, 10 games, and some action on the hard court as well. So it's going to continue, right? I mean, Masters today, we got more games around the diamond, 13 games on the MLB schedule. We have five games on the ice, have a few games in the NBA. We got a lot of action here on this show, a lot of picks, some props to talk about as well. History was made in the sports world across three separate sports yesterday. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Nicholas Martin of the Action Network is hanging by. He's going to drop in the next segment. We're going to take a look at the five-game slate in the NHL, see who he's feeling. Dude is absolutely crushing it. I mean, over at the Action Network, I think he's flirting with 100 units. He may be over 100 units. It seems like every night he's winning a handful of units. I saw him tweet out last night. He had a really strong day in the NHL as well. Today's slate's a little weird. I mean, we have the Florida Panthers, who are basically minus 1,000 today at home against the Buffalo Sabres. We have a pretty intriguing matchup in Minnesota. St. Louis. Actually, I can think of games in St. Louis between the Blues and the Wild. And also, the Maple Leafs have the night off. They're on my mind, believe it or not. We'll get to them in a second. The Lightning and the Bruins, a nice, intriguing matchup tonight as well between those two teams. And they're fighting for, they're going to make the playoffs, both of them, but they are fighting to get into potentially that two spot in the Atlantic to host a playoff series. Looks like they are going to play the Leafs, whether it's Tampa or Boston. I don't think Toronto's going to be able to catch Boston. We'll get to all that in a little bit, and we'll also get Nick's thoughts on NHL futures, who he's feeling from a Stanley Cup perspective, and why not? I mean, he's a baseball guy too, so there's a handful of games around the dime. We'll get his thoughts on that, see if there's any early futures he likes. I know it's just day one. Can we talk World Series odds after day one? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Tino's Mets won yesterday. My Angels, classic Angels, right? I mean, Shohei was great last night, but Tapera comes in, nice new reliever arm. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, the Angels bullpen is revamped. I'm excited. He comes in, first pitch, bomb. Second pitch, bomb. And, you know, it's just classic. Classic Halos, but yesterday was fantastic. It was really good. So Nick is hanging by. Shout out to MLB Dream, who came on the show yesterday and gave the Wainwright strikeout prop. I really wish I would have pushed the Astros a little bit more at plus money to win the game. But, you know, I think overall it was a pretty good day. Tino came in and I think he was perfect on four or five props that he gave as well. So it was a pretty solid day. 6 for 8 on the show in terms of NHL picks and shot props as well. We went 3 for 4 with the NHL shot props. Nico Hischier did not get it done for us last night. The Habs upset and a lot of goals in that Montreal-New Jersey game, even without Jack Hughes in the lineup. And then the picks were decent as well. The Leafs blew the late third period lead in 60, but we did have them in some parlays. We had Nashville, we had Calgary on the puck line, as well as the Canucks as well. So hopefully we can continue. We do have a sharp mind in Nicholas Martin, who's going to help us hopefully continue the streak here. So yesterday, Tiger Woods, I mean, he was great, obviously, minus 171, 4 back off the lead. But history was made across a bunch of sports yesterday, on the ice, on the diamond, and on the hard court. These are the three stars from last night. I just thought it was a historic night in the sports world. First of all, Shohei Ohtani, 4 2/3, 9K, 4 hits, 1 earned run. Fantastic. To get 9 strikeouts against a team in the Astros that don't strike out, the lowest strikeout rate in all of baseball last year with 18%. In fact, they have had the lowest strikeout or the third lowest strikeout in 4 of the last 5 seasons. This is a team that doesn't strike out. Shohei got Jose Altuve 3 times. All 3 times he faced him, he struck him out, and he struck him out looking a couple times, which just does not happen. But the history that was made yesterday was Shohei starting the game as a pitcher and leading off the game for the Halos as a hitter. First time ever. And it was pretty cool on the broadcast as well. They didn't go to a commercial break. They just hung around Matt Vashgersian and Gubiza on the broadcast. they just followed, they had a camera that followed Shohei from the diamond to, you know, the dugout, and he's you know, getting all his batter protection on, the gloves and whatnot, and then he goes up to the plate, and, you know, he got a little antsy there. He was a little antsy on the plate too. I think his first pitch was 102 miles per hour in the dirt, and then, you know, he swung, I think, at the first pitch, and, you know, he almost beat it out as a single just to show his speed. But that was the history that was made last night on the diamond. How about Joker? I think he solidified himself as the MVP last night. You see the stat line, 35 points, 16 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals. He also had a block. That was in 35 minutes of play. Beat up on the Memphis Grizzlies, who we really do like on this show, 122-109, the W. He also had a 3. But Joker, now the first player in NBA history to record at least 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists in a single season. He's now averaging 27.1 points, 13.8 boards, and 7.9 assists on the season. I do believe he is your MVP in the NBA. And how about Austin Matthews? Ladies and gentlemen, this guy continues to get it done. We talked about him yesterday from a shot prop standpoint at 3.5. He cleared that. He had 6 shots in the first period, 12 shots on goal, 2 goals. He is up to now 56 goals in the season, the most ever by a Maple Leaf, the most ever by a U.S.-born player. He becomes the fastest player to score 56 goals in a season since Mario Lemieux did it in his first 57 games back in 1995-96. So Matthews, 56 goals in 66 games. He's got 49 in his last 49, and he's got 70 in his last 82 regular season games. Absolutely phenomenal what this guy is doing. And I don't know, if he gets to 60 and he cracks 100, he'd be my MVP. I still think that there's a lot of other players in there that are in the conversation, but Matthews has had a really strong campaign, especially defensively as well. It should be an exciting race down the stretch between Matthews, McDavid, Huberto, Johnny Hockey. I think Igor Shesterkin is probably out of the heart pitcher now, despite his shutout last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So those are your 3 stars. History made last night in the sports world. Fantastic stuff. We didn't even really talk about Tiger. Maybe we're talking about him on Monday morning. Nicholas is in here next. We're going to continue the hockey talk. He's got some picks for us. We'll take a look at the futures. We also have some MLB picks, home run props, shot props, a lot to get to here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany, as we bring in Nick Martin underscore, what is it? N, sorry, Nick. Nick?
Nick M underscore hockey.
Yeah, there we go, dude. We got you coming in hot here. Talk a little hockey, talk a little baseball in the next block. My apologies. Nick is from the Action Network. And, dude, you have been, we said this last time you were on, you have been absolutely crushing the hockey bets, man. Good on you. Congrats. You had another nice, solid campaign yesterday. Before we get into tonight's slate, I talked a little bit about Austin Matthews in the first block. I don't know if you were hanging out and you were catching that, but a historic night for him as well. Now the most goals ever by a U.S.-born player, a Toronto Maple Leaf. He's got 49 goals in his last 49 games. It's so crazy to think about. Is he your MVP if the season ends today?
I honestly don't think it's even as close as people think. Like, really? Defensively, he's been really good. He's had insane run bad with his goaltenders not making any saves on the ice. Like, it's ridiculous how badly he's actually, I mean, I guess that's kind of the whole Leafs team, but he really has defended really well. And then I put a lot more weighting on scoring goals. So you can argue he's clearly just been the most productive altogether. So yeah, he'd definitely be my MVP.
His defensive game is absolutely, it is really strong. I don't think people realize how strong of a defensive forward he is, despite, you know, the haters out there saying, well, he doesn't kill any penalties, like those kind of things, right? Like, what?
For that sure. Really, one, you shouldn't have really any killing matter. Penalties.
No, no. Yeah. I do like when some players, like even Crosby, right? You go back to the years of Crosby when he dominated me. He was never out there killing penalties, even though sometimes he wanted to be out there killing penalties. But he doesn't, I mean, if you're the coaching staff, what are you doing, right? You don't want Crosby breaking an ankle, blocking a shot. You want to protect him and have him. So I think he is the MVP as well. Typically, though, I know it's just a points thing when you lead the NHL in points. Sometimes that gets overlooked a little bit or overvalued, I would say. But typically, you know, the Hart winner does lead the NHL in points. You go back a few times. I mean, Taylor Hall didn't lead the NHL in points the 1 year that he won it, but he had, I think, like 40 or 50 more than the next closest guy on that Devils team. Carey Price clearly was like 300th in points the year that he won the Hart, obviously, as a goalie. But if he does crack 60, it looks like he's going to, and he's going to get to the century mark. It's hard to really argue with the defensive metrics that he has as well. I didn't bring you on to talk Hart, but I know you're a hockey guy, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. So let's take a look at tonight's slate. Only a handful of games. It's really tough. I don't know. I find this is a tough slate here, but there is a couple intriguing matchups. We do have a game here between the Boston Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Bruins checking in at plus 145. The Lightning at home here at minus 160 with the goal total at 6. You and I were chatting last night a little bit about maybe that total sticking at 6. I'm seeing 5.5, Nick, in some spots at MGM. At minus 120 over at BetMGM there. What do you make of this matchup? This is a big tilt for both of these teams, right? To try to get up closer to Toronto, maybe host round one. What do you think?
For sure. Yeah. Like, I just think this is a spot where Tampa are really going to be keen to play a better defensive game. We know they're capable and they've put a lot of shakier efforts together in that regard of late. The first versus Washington was kind of a disaster. So this would be one where, if it was a different team, I'd probably be looking at their recent play concerned to back and under. But I think given what we've seen from them the last 2 years, we know they're capable of defending so well and they're going to have Vasilevsky in net. So I think this just should set up to be a tighter, lower scoring contest. Obviously the Bruins defend really well. They have led the league the last month in expected goals against per 60 rating. So they're allowing next to no chances against. And then I actually like, too, that Pasta is going to be out for this game because I think that helps us with regards to a play on the under. So I'm happy that it's held fairly well. I know some of them are 5.5 now. I think I was just looking and FanDuel still has it at 6. So hopefully we get one to hold. That's the hard part this time of year. It seems like a lot of the times the play that's kind of the right one is pretty obvious and it's just a race to see who can get that number in.
Yeah. You know, you bring up Pass and I was going to bring him up too. These two teams played each other on March 24th. It was a 3-2 final. You alluded to it. Boston won that game and Pasta had a hat trick and he had 8 shots on goal. So him out of the lineup is pretty significant. If you do want to indeed get under the number there, what do you make of these two teams? Clearly the Bolts are 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions. They've made some additions at the deadline. I'd like the Nick Paul addition. Hagel's looks really good. It's hard to just say, Tampa can't get it done this year. Like, there's no way they can go 3 years in a row. But when push comes to shove and the puck drops in the NHL playoffs, that to me, they're still the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
For sure. Like,
do you agree? Yeah.
Yeah. All those East teams are so good, so I haven't been trying to act like I'm going to be able to pick out of the Atlantic who's going to come out on me. But I think we saw last year how much Tampa can ramp it up because they were arguably even worse down the stretch last season. Like, they really had a big lull. So I don't really think looking at the last month is going to indicate a lot. I think we all know they're just going to pick it up a lot second playoff start. So, and you could argue,
I think that's what sorry to jump in there, but I think that's what I hear from a lot of people, Nick, is that they haven't been themselves over the past month or so, but they're the type of team to me, like the Warriors, when they were kind of struggling the regular season, all of a sudden the playoffs, it's like that switch is just flipped. And I just feel like they're so sound offensively when taking a look at a Boston or a Florida and a Toronto. I think that's where they really have the edge.
Yeah, and like you can just... it's reasonable to see why they can't ramp up the urgency. Like, they played so much hockey. And if you look at it realistically, like, everyone's talking about how much the Atlantic race matters, but you could flip-flop which team you get on any night of the year, just like with how close they are. So it's not like you're looking at it saying, like, we actually have to win this division to get this matchup or whatever. I don't really think Tampa care. And they shouldn't. I mean, all the teams, no one, 2-4 is still however many points apart in that division. So it's so close. Like, I don't really think there's a target where you're really going to push yourselves and play with a lot of urgency to get down the stretch.
Yeah, I think if you're Florida, you know, you want it's fun for the Panthers to get that number one seed to battle with Colorado for the President's Trophy. If you're Toronto, you know, I think it's a significant advantage maybe to start, you know, game one and two on home ice. But if you're Tampa, you know, you already know you can play with anybody. It doesn't matter. It does remind me of LeBron a couple years ago when they kind of just limped in, or they didn't really have home court, but they just didn't care at that moment. Now LeBron's going to be watching on his couch from home this time around, but a few years ago, just get in and it doesn't matter. You can beat anybody. Is there anything else you like on the slate? Like, there's a handful of games here, you know, the Islanders and the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes played last night. They came back, you know, down, I believe they're down 2 or 3-0 against the Buffalo Sabres. They came back and won that one. I think you were on the Hurricanes puck line, so congrats on that one. Colorado and Winnipeg, a bit of a mismatch. The Jets suffered a really tough loss the other night against Detroit. It looks like they're officially done. You do have an intriguing matchup in St. Louis between the Wild and the Blues, but what do you do with the Panthers and the Sabres? Like, the Sabres are playing good. We talked to them last night. I mean, they're -425. Do you take a shot on Buffalo at +355? Do you take the Panthers to win by a couple? Do you go the other way with the Sabres puck line? Or you just stay the heck away from the game? I mean, I think we can agree there's probably going to be some offense in that game. Like, 7 is a high total. What have you been doing with those 7 totals?
Yeah, there's been a few where I still liked it at 7. I think the one that I posted was the first time I played 7. There's a few that got there, but there was the first time where I said to play the number at 7. And yeah, like, this is another one of these ones where, like, last night when we talked, we had this on the board of ones we were hoping to go through when it was puck line was -135, and now it's -180. So obviously that's a whole nother argument to say that there's value there. So honestly, I don't see a lot with this one. One thing I think you could start to look at is either Buffalo first period +0.5 or Buffalo team total over 2.5, because some of those numbers are starting to get pretty well into the +150s. So I think there's maybe value there. The Panthers really have defended pretty poorly since Ekblad's gone down. So I think it's realistic that they could score 3. I think definitely at a better clip than +130 or whatever's out there suggests.
So you think maybe even though that it is 7, you would lean with the over? I think I'm kind of with you.
Oh, I would.
I see DK at -105 is probably the best price out there. But yeah, most books have it at 7.
So, and then the one
is 7. I feel like we'll see 8 goals.
Well, I was going to say the one I was going to jump in on, not that I know you don't usually go through the next day's slate, but I was thinking I'm going to be watching keenly to see if the Preds versus Panthers opens at 6.5 today, because I think it will. And then that one will be moving to 7 tomorrow. So I think it'll be another one of these ones where if you can get in now, there'll be some value, but I think everyone will play the over, and then tomorrow it'll be 7, and then there's probably no value there.
No, I think that's a good call. I know I have nothing against looking ahead, and I know that you do that as well, and I believe the first time you came on the show, we had that conversation about looking ahead and getting in early, right? I think that's super key, especially I've noticed it a lot as well. Like, even last night with the Habs and the Devils, the night before it was 6.5, and then it got up to 7 closer to puck drop. Maybe people are a little hesitant on that, but we did see 11 goals in that game. So these 6.5s, I think you could jump on them early. There's some value before it does get to the 7. All right, before we wrap up the hockey conversation, we do have a Stanley Cup futures board here. We did touch on Tampa just a little bit. I wanted to just kind of get your thoughts again on the way out. Now, the Avs are clearly heavy favorites here, the Panthers and the Flames. The value is gone with those two teams. You know, we did talk about the Eastern Conference and Toronto and Tampa being so sound defensively and flipping on that switch. The Bruins are here at 14-1. I think there's certainly some value there as well. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath in the East. I want to get your thoughts on, I don't know, who you like maybe on that left side of the board. But I also, well, let's just touch on the left side of the board first. Do you see any value there on the left side with any of those teams?
I do. With Boston, so they're +1,400 there. And I looked this morning, there's some +1,600s available. And they really have been the last 2 months right there with any team in the league, you can argue. I think there's a drop off from the Avalanche to every other team in the league, but they've been right with Florida, Toronto, Tampa analytically, even stronger actually. And they're going to get the tough first round matchup, probably Carolina, but that's still a coin flip in my mind. Like, I would almost actually lean towards Boston versus Carolina. So I definitely think if you can get a plus 1400, plus 1600, there's some value there.
Yeah, I'm seeing 16 Nick at PointsBet and FanDuel. Unibet has 17-1. What about this right side of the board? I feel like, to me, honestly, the Kings at 50-1 really do jump out at me. And it's not because they have the longest odds here. It's because I really like their two centers, Kopitar and Dano. I think both of those centers are strong defensively. Now, they would have, looking like they would have to play the Oilers in, you know, in that first matchup. And then if they get out of that, they'd have to play Calgary. So the path is pretty tough for them. But I think in the West, would you agree, it's a little bit more wide open in the Western Conference? Am I crazy here to think? Like, I'm not saying a full unit on the Kings, but I think they're a decent long shot. If you are picking a long shot on the right side of the board here, who would it be in your opinion?
I would say I actually agree with you on the Kings there. Like, one fair point is they played without what was a really, really good top defensive pairing of Doughty and Anderson for so long now. And it's like they have a couple D that have come up from the AHL and they're playing so good. Like, it's a quietly deep D core. I think Sean Durzi, for people who've watched him, is like probably one of the more underrated guys in the whole league right now. So I can definitely see the argument on the Kings. And I'm still pretty low on the Oilers. Like, I would not be touching them at plus 2,500 ever.
I agree.
I ran a piece in the summer on this, on why I thought they were just a no bet. And they always seem to gain some steam because people look at how they have two of the top players in the world. But the flaws are still pretty clear. Like, I think just as a lot of people expected, it's going to be really hard to win in the playoffs with Koskinen and Smith. They're playing really well right now, but there's been a lot of games against softer teams. And I still think when push comes to shove, you can see that Smith and Koskinen are just, it's so hard to make up for a soft goal or two in the playoffs. And I think they're going to be fighting that battle.
And things tighten up in the playoffs. We saw it last year with McDavid. Things were super tight and they got bounced. I think they got swept by the Jets last year. And, you know, McDavid, or again, it's Jordan Spence is another young LA Kings defenseman, I think, that's looked pretty good since his call up. And just the fact, again, you got to go 40 minutes against Kopitar or Dano, and what Dano did against Matthews and Marner last year, and Stone and Pacioretty, and kind of shut out the Jets as well. He's a really strong defensive forward. So I do believe that they need Drew Doughty. Like, they're going to need Doughty, and Quick would have to turn the clock back a little bit to make a run. But I think if it's Edmonton and LA, I'm looking at a potential upset in that
first. Yeah, definitely. Especially like 1-6, their defense core is quietly a lot better. Like, I would be taking it if they're at full health now with how they can configure it. Like, you'd probably see Durzi drop into the bottom pair. And then that's actually a really underrated unit.
Okay, Nick, I know you're a baseball guy as well. What do you got here?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch the Mariners-Twins game, and I see some value on the Twins with the way this one matches up. So I think the best available price right now is minus 118. I've been watching this one closely. I actually thought we might see it move towards the Mariners, but I guess a few more people are low on Ray than I thought. So obviously Robbie Ray was last year's Cy Young winner, but he is kind of a good regression candidate. Not just because of the fact that it was such a standout season compared to his history, but his expected ERA was still just 3.6, and he stranded runners 90% of the time. So once we see a little bit of the regression we're kind of expecting here, he could be a little less dominant, and then that already has this one looking a little more favorable for the Twins. And then the other thing is the Twins match up pretty well against Ray. With Sanchez and Garlic coming in today, they should have 7 of 9 batters in the lineup who've hit past 100 and weighted runs created plus against lefties last season. Obviously, a big part of that is Buxton. He crushed lefties at 325 and a 169 weighted runs rating. And then Correa was 138 and batted 290. So I think those two are going to make a big difference. And just overall, this lineup should actually bat lefties well above average this season. So I think that's a big part of it. And then Joe Ryan going for the Twins could kind of be a high upside guy this season, I think. He's quietly pitched really well through 26 big league innings. His expected ERA is 2.99. So it's kind of just one, I think, where we've got an undervalued pitcher against possibly an overvalued pitcher, and the Twins should match up pretty well against Ray on top of that.
Yeah, I think I feel like both of these teams could be sneaky in the betting market this year. I mean, the Twins, you see Carlos Correa on the board there. They kind of revamped their entire lineup. I mean, Ursula, they brought in Gary Sanchez. They do have some pop in there. They're like here when you're playing MLB The Show on, you know, Dynasty mode, and you're just making all these trades. It just seems like they're one of those organizations this year that's just made a bunch of moves. I do agree on the Robbie Ray stuff. I think the switch to maybe Seattle and the AL West division will help him a little bit, but he does walk a lot of guys. He has that high fly ball rate. He gives up a lot of bombs. So he does get himself in trouble with the command, right? If you're walking one or two per inning on average, you know, you could easily give up a crooked number. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. We got World Series odds as well, future odds, just because, I mean, we did the NHL stuff with you as well. I know it's only day two in the Major League Baseball season here, but is there any team that jumps out at you? I mean, as potential value, or maybe a team that you're looking, say, hey, look, the Red Sox are 22-1 as an example for our guy George, who made the graphic. Maybe if they got off to a hot start again this season like they did last year, they can go to 15-1. I don't really know if they have the chucking, Nick, but is there a team on this board? Tino's wanting you to say the Mets, but is there a team on this board that you like, that you think could make a run?
I don't know if team, I'm wearing a Nationals jersey. I definitely can't pump up the
Mets. Is it a National Scherzer jersey?
No, Soto.
Soto. Okay, fair enough. He went yard.
You know what? I was looking at it today, and it's one where I don't know if all the numbers agree, but it's hard for me to see the Nationals beating Scherzer today.
Right.
Like,
and his strikeout prop is 6.5. I think we're all on board on the show for Scherzer to get 7 punchouts against his former team.
Yeah, the Nationals could be really bad. It's funny how many people were happy with the game yesterday just because Soto hit a jack. Like, it's
small victories, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, not really. I'm pretty high on the Jays, and it seems like people have really gotten that number bet down pretty low of late. I'd love to see them do good. But, and then the other thing, I could see the upside with a team like the Red Sox, but that division is just so tough. I don't really think there's a lot of risk in waiting to get a better number. Could prove wrong. I'm out hot.
Were you an Expos fan transitioned over to Washington, or are you just
no, I'm too young for that. I honestly just kind of bandwagoned the Nationals in 2018 because they're all buddies with the Caps, and I just love the story. And then after the Caps won, and then they went on to win, I loved that playoff run. So that's kind of what it was. And then I kind of cheered for the Chiefs.
One of the best, I think, you know, sports celebrations, like championship celebrations, is a couple of things. Ovechkin doing like a keg stand at Nationals Park. I saw that. And also partying with the cup in the Bellagio fountains in Vegas. Like, pretty top notch for Ovechkin to get that done. I know he is buddies with some of those Nats guys. Nick, always a pleasure, dude. A great follow on the Twitter machine, Nick_M_hockey. Also check out all of his work over at the Action Network. Check out the app. I have tweeted out links before, and I'll do it again. I'll put a description, a link inside the description of this video, bringing you to the Action Network app, where you can give Nick a follow and check out all of his picks. Appreciate it, dude. Good luck on the ice around the diamond, and we'll do this again. When we get playoff matchups, I'll have you back on, and we'll really dive into those Stanley Cup playoff matchups. Tino's in here next. We got some more picks for you. We're going to turn our attention to Major League Baseball. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on a Game Plus Network as we bring in Tino Rodriguez underscore on the Twitter machine. World Series Mets hoodie. Oh, baby. 1986. Were you even alive then, sir?
I wasn't. And you know what? Although the Nationals aren't good this year, I'm sorry, Nick. And they did look really bad. And I thought it was interesting in highlights that like it jump cut right to Juan Soto's home run. But I understand we love Juan Soto here. I'm not against him.
We do.
Future New York Met in the making there. But yeah, hopefully I see one in my lifetime and, you know, I'm still harping in the past when I wasn't even alive, but good start for the Mets. Although the Nationals did decide to peg, the Mets three times and went high and in on Pete in the ninth inning. So other than that, everything went pretty well, I guess, for the Mets.
I did not see that.
Yes. Bruised lip. I don't know if he'll be playing today, but although Maxi will get seven strikeouts, expect a few high and tight coming at the Natties today. It's true. Buck was not happy.
There's no way he goes high and tight on Soto. No way he goes.
Not
high
Soto, high. Yeah.
Not Soto, but we could see a couple others in there. Okay, so I see some questions and some people commenting and stuff. Maybe we can get to that in just a little bit. DJ Betts missed that question about the Rangers and the Stars. I'm not interested in the Stars. I think the Rangers could make a run. They got strong goaltending in Shesterkin, like the addition of Kopp, like the addition of Vetrano. But we're here to talk some baseball here and some MLB stuff. The classic Rob Lowe MLB League hat. I absolutely love it. Okay, so let's right off the hop, let's talk about this matchup with the Mets and Nats here in Max Scherzer making his first start for the New York Mets up against his former squad. And something that you and I talked about, right, the dominance that he's had in the division and, you know, not having to pitch against a much stronger Mets lineup and now having to go up against a weak Washington lineup. His numbers could even be better than last year's, as you see there, 15-4, a 2.46 ERA. He was fantastic in his small sample size with the Dodgers. You say Gray, he's got some upside. Not a lot of innings from him last year. Clearly, the ERA not great here. I'm actually surprised Mets minus 155.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I put that in last night at a slightly better price. But Scherzer's strikeout prop at 6.5 plus money over at DraftKings. I mean, how could you not bet that?
Yeah, I mean, and how do we not go back to the well? Yesterday we hit Mets. You could have went run line, could have went money line. That hit, and the under covered by 1,000. You know, it wasn't even really close. The Mets offense got going late and kind of started stat padding. But that was at 9.5 yesterday. It's at 9 today. I don't see the Nats offense doing much outside of Juan Soto. And that's the thing. Like, I feel so bad for the guy because outside of him getting bombs done, I mean, huge strikeout first and third with one out. Tyler McGill, I mean, if we're going to talk about the Mets, unbelievable outing for him. I could talk about him all day. But unless he has runners on base, I don't know how the Nationals are going to score runs. Nine's way too high, especially if we like Max Scherzer to dominate, which I think most of us will assume he's going to do. So I definitely love the under again. I will be on the Mets again. And just in terms of this matchup in itself, Josiah Gray – is the only cause of concern. I told you this with Patrick Corbin for that total. When he gets hit really hard and he gives up the long ball. So that would be the only cause for concern, but I think it's still early in the season. We talked about that temperature in Washington early, you know, with the air conditions kind of keeping balls in. And so I think that'll play to our favor. And look, even if the Mets do decide to go yard a couple times, I just don't see Max giving up many runs. So I love the under again. We like Max's strikeouts and we're going to take the Mets again today.
Yeah, I like all those plays. I think you could take the Mets on the run line, like you said, with the under. I don't think that the Nats will do their part, even if the Mets score 6 or 7, right? I don't think that the Nats will be able to do it. And you're right about McGill. I mean, 6 punchouts in 5 innings. He looked really, really strong. And now, you know, you got a pitcher that's a little bit more strikeout upside. So we like that one. We like the Mets. We like the run line. We like the under, but I got to get involved with Scherzer. I'm kicking myself for not getting involved with Ohtani yesterday, right? I mean, 4.5 punchouts, even against the Astros. I mean, a tough team, but he still found a way to get that done as well. Mike Comfrey, Cubs Brewers postponed. We are saved. We are saved. yeah, I know he was already chirping me earlier. I think he was chirping me potentially about the Brewers. Guys, it's one game here. We'll settle down. It wasn't a great start. For the Brew Crew, but I think even still, like, I got that division, guys. You're going to be fine. All right. Something you wanted to say?
Yeah, so I do have I just want to, because I know we want to circle back and move on to this Blue Jays game that we definitely want to talk about. We talked about the 4.5 for Shohei. We hit on Adam Wainwright 4.5. I think there's one 4.5 number out there that I don't understand. I think it's mispriced and I really, really like. And we'll go back to the board. It's the twin starting pitcher, Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan had only he made five starts last year, had over this total in four out of the five. The only one he didn't go over, he still went seven strong shutout innings and picked up the W. Look, if he doesn't pass this, I think he's going to get right to that threshold again. This is minus 105 in some places, probably minus 110 now. I love this number. Seattle has a ton of strikeout upside in that lineup, as great as they are in terms of if they put the bat on the ball, they'll be able to jump on him. That's fine. I'm not picking a side here. I'm taking Joe Ryan strikeouts. I think he can get this number. And, you know, he has the upside. Look, 5-11, 5-4-5. He'll either barely get over a small sample size, but he could crush this number and could be like Wainwright and get this super early within like three innings, and I would not be surprised. So if you're riding the Twins today, like our guy Nick Martin is, I would get on Joe Ryan over 4.5 strikeouts. I just think that number is super low. It's one of those numbers I want to jump on in terms of strikeouts because we're seeing 5.5s and 6.5s out there. So if I could find a 4.5 on a guy who can cross that number a lot, you know, I want to jump on it at almost even money.
Yeah, love the call. The Seattle Mariners had the third highest strikeout rate in all of baseball last year at 25%, right? As much as we like Rodriguez, he's a young bat, right? They still have a lot of young bats. Eugenio Suarez struck out basically all the time last year with the Reds, right? Yeah. There's probably two right there. If he goes through the lineup twice, maybe he gets him a couple times as well. J.P. Yeah. Crawford's got some strikeouts. Yeah, there's a lot of swing and miss in Seattle's lineup. As much as we like the upside with some of the kids, and I do like their staff, and I think their bullpen is decent, but they're certainly a team that we can pick on, I think, in the DFS community in terms of strikeouts and attacking some pitcher props there. So I like that call as well. Let's transition over to the Toronto Blue Jays here at home, the home opener here for the Bluebirds. They are heavy favorites here. Again, this is odds that we got from last night, but I'll always throw out the parlay calculator, the free prop shop over at ftnbets.com to get the best possible odds all the time. So the Bluebirds live as of right now is what the number is saying at minus 161. If you'd want to back Texas, it's come down a little bit, plus 150. We got John Gray making his Texas debut here at 8-2. Jose Berrios in there, 12-9, 3.52 ERA. So for Gray, you know, getting out of Colorado is absolutely a huge plus for him. I'm actually intrigued for him from a season-long standpoint. You know, he had some mechanic changes in the offseason, some pitches that could work in his favor this year. But there's a couple things I like here. I like the total, even with Berrios on the bump and the solid ERA and really strong at moments with the Jays. I'm not a big believer, Tino, in this Texas lineup. But they do have some guys there that can score some runs. They got some pop in their lineup, right? I mean, Semien's going to face his former team here. They got Seager in there. Mitch Garver's got some pop in his bat. Like, they can do some damage, but this Jays team, they're going to hit a lot of home runs. It might start right off the hop. What do you like about this game?
So I'm going back to the strikeout market. Another number that jumps right out to me is Jose Berrios. Over 5.5. This is minus 110 most places. He went under this number one time to finish the stretch of the season last year in September. Granted, small sample size, but he smashes this number over his career. I mean, we're talking about at least maybe 1.5 strikeouts per. I think he'll go some distance here. And let's just talk about the strikeout upside in this Rangers lineup. Yeah, a lot of pop, but all that pop comes with some swing and miss. Nate Lowe, huge swing and miss guy. I don't even know about Andy Ibañez's game, but I'll just chalk one in there. Brad Miller loves to strike out. Adolis Garcia, ton of power, strikeout heavy. The Calhouns, both Willie and Cole. Like, there are six strikeouts in this lineup for sure, and that's not even accounting for the good guys in this lineup that could end up buckling down to Berrios too. So I think Berrios has the stuff. I love where the price is at minus 110, and I just love where that number is at 5.5 for him. I think he goes at least six. If we can get a strikeout per, we're looking at six, and I think we're going to get away before and much easier. So that's where I'm going, and of course, we love the Blue Jays today. But I'll leave the home runs to you. I'll leave the home runs to you. That's your bag.
I'll do some home runs in the next segment. They weren't fantastic yesterday, but I did see a comment from, who was it from, Convery? Actually, it might have been Matthew Bingham. There's a couple comments here I see live on our FTN YouTube page. It was Convery, right? Jordan Alvarez to lead the league in home runs. Tyler O'Neill, two guys we talked a lot about. Now it's just one day, but it was a perfect start for those guys, right? Jordan Alvarez went deep to center. a home run off Tapera, and then a huge day from Tyler O'Neill. I think he had a double. He had a home run. I believe
he it was the most RBIs. He had five RBIs. I think it was the most RBIs from a Cardinal on opening day in over 100 years, 100 plus years. So pretty wild. They've also
been decent hitters.
Mike, the books listen to the show. Yes, the Twins jumped down to minus 155. They know. And jump on that Joe Ryan number now. I had it at minus 105 before. I think it'll be minus 120 by the time this hits Game Plus Network. So you heard it here first. And those are also late plays. Those games are going to start Twins at 4 o'clock, Blue Jays at 7. So the people at Game Plus Network, I made sure we did it for that reason. You guys can get in on the action over at PointsBet Canada as well, which we love.
Which we absolutely love. Yes. So I got some home run calls in the next segment. Same deal. Just wanted to give some late games for you, some late home run props. But a friendly reminder, ftnbets.com. You have the betting package. You get the picks from everybody across all the sports, tools, projections, a lot of models in there as well. And then access to the Discord channel where you can always ask anybody. It's always a great conversation. Yesterday was just fantastic. Everyone's like a kid on Christmas, right? I mean, everyone's just so fired up with all the baseball plays we're getting in there. I saw MLB Dream jump in, Kansas City Royals live, and then like 2 minutes later they go up, and everyone's like, yes, you know, the emojis, the office emojis with the champagne. Everyone's having a great time. You know, I love it. Good luck today to your Mets. We'll say goodbye to you. Got some home run props and some NHL shot props around out Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in to Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network and our FTN YouTube page. Again, any questions at any moment, you guys can leave them there. I'll always circle back before puck drop and first pitch on the main slate. MLB, we have a lot to offer over at FTN Bets and FTNDaily.com. So something I'm going to try to do at every show is try to just give some home run props as well, just like the shot props, which we'll do in the next segment. So this is what I'm thinking for home runs, and I wanted to just come at you with some later games here. So kind of chalky off the start with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I was just checking to see, you know, I wasn't even going to give Vlad. You see Bo Bichette there at plus 640, which I just think is ridiculous odds for a guy that's got a tremendous pop. And I do like the spot against John Gray. Again, you know, John Gray, I think we're going to see a much improved season from him. But even last year on the road away from Coors, he had a higher ERA, 5.22 ERA, 4.02 at home. Didn't give up a ton of bombs, only 21 on this season, 10 of them to righties. Righties had a higher slugging percentage at 431 and a WOBA at 326, a higher fly ball rate as well. But for Vlad and what Vlad did last season in particular, I mean, obviously he had a fantastic season, but what he did against right-handed pitching was absolutely unbelievable and something that I think it could carry over. So for last season against righties, 37 bombs, 11 of them against lefties, but 37 bombs, 37 of his 48 against right-handed pitching. He had a 317 average as well, a higher fly ball rate at home. Of course, Toronto played all over the place last year, but 31 bombs at home and hit 328 as well. Just from like a WOBA and a WRC plus standpoint, he absolutely torched righties, a 424 WOBA and a 169 WRC plus and a 1.02 OPS. The ISO was over 300. Slugging was 620 against righties. He just absolutely crushed them. So I was shocked to see plus 320. I was just going to come in here with Bo, and I was trying to think of a fourth guy. I'm like, ah, you know what? Check out the free prop shop over at ftnbets.com. Type in Vlad, boom, 320. I'm going to jump all over that. Kyle Tucker and Jared Walsh here up against each other. I do like runs in this Halos and Astros game here today. We didn't see any yesterday. Valdez was fantastic. Shohei was great as well. But we do have Jake Odorizzi on the hill for the Astros, who is a fly ball pitcher. Guy gives up home runs. And last year, a higher ERA on the road compared to at home. And he did struggle against left-handed bats, a 335 WOBA, 443 slugging percentage. He only gave up five homers against lefties, but he didn't pitch a lot last year, just over 100 innings as well. Jared Walsh was the best pitcher in the Angels lineup last year against against right-handed pitching. Believe it or not, you know, Ohtani had more homers, but Walsh had 19 bombs. He had the team high 415 WOBA and a 333 average against righties. Yesterday was a tough spot for him. Lefty on lefty matchup against Valdez. He's got a lot of pop in his bat. So I do like Jared Walsh at plus 390. And as for Tucker up against the lefty and Detmers, you know, young buck only had 20 innings on the resume last year, but he gave up 17 runs and he gave up five homers. And, you know, he really did struggle against right-handed bats, three homers, a 384 WOBA. And for Tucker against lefties, 13 homers, a 45% fly ball rate, and a .286 average. He did lead all Astros players in home runs against lefties last year with 13. And then Bo Bichette, right? I mean, Bo Bichette is another guy who had a lot of success against right-handed pitching as well. But look at those odds, plus 640. Maybe that's like a 0.50 units on that. The rest I would chuck a unit on those first three hitters. We're going to round out the show with some NHL picks and shot prop. Welcome back in. Five games on the ice. Going to round out with some NHL shot props. Matthew Bingaman was in the house, and he did say that we had a great day yesterday, and I think we did. Overall in this show, 6 for 8. We hit on 5 parlays in the FTM bet tracker. We're hovering around the 84 unit mark. So let's try to finish the week here strong with some shot props. I am leading here with Claude Giroux. A matchup against the Buffalo Sabres. He had 7 shots in his last game. He finally scored a goal. After all those times betting him to score and not scoring, he finally scored his first goal. He's got 9 points in 8 games here with the Florida Panthers, and he has cleared 2.5 shots in 5 of those 8 games. Valeri Nichushkin is expected back in the lineup here tonight for the Colorado Avalanche. He's had at least 4 shots in 3 straight and 4 of his past 5. So Nichushkin's been really good on that top line with Nate MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen in a really good spot tonight. Just like Giroux against the Buffalo Sabres, second half of a back-to-back. Buffalo played in Carolina last night. Now they got to go play in Florida. Really tough spot for them. The Winnipeg Jets are checked out. They're done. Like, they're just officially done. Inside the top 10 in shot attempts allowed and shots allowed at 5 and 5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks of the season. Basically, overall, this is a team that has struggled. They've given up a lot of high danger chances and a lot of shot attempts and quality shot attempts as well. So Nichushkin up on that top line. I like him because he's back in the lineup today. There's a couple different ways to go in this Minnesota-St. Louis game. I like Kevin Fiala. He's a little bit juiced up. I think Kaprizov at plus money if you can get him at 3.5. But I decided to lean here with Joel Eriksson Ek. Eriksson Ek has cleared in 3 straight and 6 of his past 8. He plays in all situations, having around the 21-22 minute mark over the last 3 weeks of the season. So also in a pretty decent spot. And then Jordan Kyrou was my plus money play here. He had 8 shots in his last game. He had a goal. He's got 11 shots in 2 games since returning to the lineup, but he missed practice. I just saw it now that he missed practice this morning due to an illness. So I'm not sure if he's going to suit up. If he does play, I am intrigued. The one game that he had against the Wild this season, he had 4 shots, 2 goals, and 2 assists. And I do like him as a plus money play. But if he doesn't suit up, I think Vladimir Tarasenko is fine to put into a parlay if you're just looking for a single. And if you are looking for a plus money play from that game, I would lean with Pavel Buchnevich. All right, guys, I do appreciate you guys hanging out. I'm sorry I don't think I got to a lot of the questions here today, but Bingham, I do appreciate the support. Last night, your Canucks got it done. Flames, we were in on the Leafs. We did have a successful night, and I'm glad that you seem to have some success as well. Expos, it is a Vlad Guerrero jersey. It's not junior, it's senior. And Vladdy Jr. goes deep today. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.